Turn your Bibles, will, to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. We'll continue our study here in this passage about the Lord's Supper. First, I'm going to try to sing this song, okay? This has been on my heart and mind. I don't know why here for a while, but I can't seem to shake it. And I looked the words up because about how it is to sing about maybe a quarter of it right when I'm going around humming it around and stuff. And so you pray that the Lord just bless and the Lord might be glorified in it. Like the prodigal son, I wandered in darkness, and I traded my life for a world of good time. No peace in my heart I ever could find. And I got so tired feeding after the swine. So I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. The table is spread and they're waiting for me. I can see the Father coming out to greet me. Lord, I'm willing to be just a servant for thee. Amen. Like the prodigal son, I wandered from Jesus. But the good shepherd saw through the heat and the cold. The 99 he left in the fold there just to find this lost sheep that was hungry and cold. So I believe I'll go down and eat with the Father. The table is spread and they're waiting for me. I can see the Father coming out to greet me. Lord, I'm willing to be just a servant for thee. Lord, I'm willing to be just a servant for thee. What the Lord has done for us, boy, praise the Lord for it. Amen. Isn't it good? I mean, life. We've been given eternal life. And not just that thing that we can look forward to after this old body dies and they put us in the ground and all that. We can have life now. We have life right now. Right now with the Lord. You know, been shared this with a brother here in the last day or so. How much it is, I want you to think about this, and if you have thoughts about it, tell me. But I want you to just consider, this is message number one, okay? I want you to consider the thing about eating. About eating. When we love somebody, when we desire to get close to somebody, when we desire and have fellowship with somebody, we want to eat with them, don't we? I think that's the ultimate thing in this human existence that shows how much we're willing to open up to somebody is by sitting down and supping with them. Right? Right? And so what the Lord, the example of the prodigal son, the scripture tells us about that, what? The prodigal son came home, and I know there's applications that can be used a couple different ways. And what did the daddy say? Kill the fatted calf. Let's sit down and eat. Let's rejoice. How it is the Lord said in our study here, he said, I've desired to eat this Passover with desire. I've desired to eat this Passover with you. And I know that he ordained the Lord's Supper from that. But there's fellowship. There's fellowship there. And dining together. We admit openly in that. Because I tell you what, if somebody kind of galls us, kind of bothers us, kind of rubs us wrong, we may not want to sit down and eat with them. And then what is it the Lord Jesus Christ says? And then the scripture tells us, in that day when we're with the Lord, at marriage supper of the Lamb, the Lord says in the Lord's Supper, I won't partake of these things till I eat it with you. Amen. In the kingdom of my Father, in the kingdom of God. Amen. Think about that. you've got some more points to it, let me know, and we'll make a message out of it, all right? All right. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, we left it off here. We'll pick it up in verse number 12. So after he had washed their feet, the Lord Jesus Christ had, and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example." I think that's important. That's key. "That ye should do as I have done to you. Verse 16. "Verily, verily." When the Lord says verily, verily, when he says verily or verily, verily, it's very important. You can't do without it. You need to get it, grab a hold of it, hang on to it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, wake up. I'm going to tell you something good. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord." That's capital, or it's lowercase L, isn't it? It's just the principle about master and servant, or lord and servant, boss and worker. It's just the way that it is, right? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." All right, so a messenger being sent by the one that has the message to be sent, the messenger's not greater. Get a hold of it. Get a hold of it. "If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them." And I don't think we do any disservice to the scripture if we say, if you know these things, happy are ye if you abide by them. You get the picture. You understand our relationship between you as my child, you as the one that I've saved, and me as your Savior. We'll have some joy there. We'll be happy. What happens in a home if the order gets all fouled up? There's unhappiness. Amen. Right? If the children are running the show, there's unhappiness. If the daddy or the father, the husband's not doing his part, there's unhappiness. If the wife, the mother's not doing her part, there's unhappiness. There's strife. It's wrong. It's sideways. Amen. But if it's right, it'll be good. Same way in the church. Same way in the church. And so we need to seek that. And so the Lord, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." We've talked and mentioned how it said over there in Luke, and we're not going to cover all that again, but the Lord says that don't be looking to be great. Follow me, and I'll take care of you, as he told the apostles there. He says, prefer one another, and such as that. We read over and wrapped things up last Wednesday in 1 Peter chapter 3. "Finally, my brethren, be all of one mind, the Lord's mind. Have compassion on one another, and such as that." We reminded again about that strife that we saw over there in Luke 22. Philippians chapter 2. Take a look here, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, if these things are there, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife." No strife. No grudgingly doing so, no pushing that, but let it be a love for one for another, a love for our Savior, constrained by his love for us. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, seeking our own praise, seeking our accolades from our brothers and sisters in Christ, from others, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Amen. Prefer one for another, we read over in 1 Peter 3. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." We need to be paying attention to what's going on with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I tell you what, sometimes I'm just as knuckleheaded as I can be in perceiving what's going on. But I need to be looking. Amen. I need to be looking. I need to be determining and seeing if there's a way that I can help my brother and sister bear their burden. I need to be sensitive to it. I need to pray, Lord, that Lord will help me to be sensitive to it, and especially as pastor, it needs to be the case. But our desire should be one for another, not to climb up on one another. Let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus. What's it go on to tell us? He did those things for us, not for himself. There we had a need. And the Lord said, I can fulfill that need. And he did it. And he did it for sinners like you and me. Galatians chapter 5. I find it interesting how these epistles to the churches have this mentioned in them so. I mean, if it's there, if we find it, Peter writing it in his general epistle, as we call it. And I believe it's to the saints, it's to the churches, because that's all the Bible knows of is the Lord's people in his churches. But there, as we read in that passage there in Philippians, and then we go on here to Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 5:13, Galatians 5:13, he says, I've washed your feet. Being master, I've washed your feet. Being master, I've humbled myself to wash your feet. If you understand what it is to serve one another, to not seek your own, but to seek that of your brother and sister in Christ here in the church, you have some joy. Amen. You have some happiness. You'll put away selfishness. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13, he goes on, For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Well, that just hurt me. Well, yeah, we're going to get hurt. Doesn't make it right, but it's going to happen. But look to the Lord, and that one that hurt you, pray for him. If you just can't take it, the Lord gives instruction, go to him. Maybe you can gain him. But if you say, no, I don't want to go to him. Okay, well then pray. Pray the Lord to change you, me. Pray the Lord to change them. The Lord can do it, right? Pray the Lord will bring it out. We can take it to him. We got to see that. But if we go and work it ourselves, and we have responsibility, and we need to meet those responsibilities, but we go and try to work it ourselves, try to politic it ourselves, try to work behind the scenes ourselves, we'll foul it up. We need to do it right according to what the Lord says. Been called to liberty, don't use that liberty for an occasion of flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So what about your brother and your sister? Amen? The Lord, and this thing of the Lord's Supper is not talking to the world. It's talking to the church. Amen. Talking to you and me. And if the Lord gives us a command to love our neighbor as ourselves, what about those of the household of faith? Amen? Amen. Amen. That's right. Verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Because that's what will happen. Right. Nip, 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 bite, 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 and then we'll end up choking on it. Yeah. We're going to see some of that as we get over in Corinthians and see some about that. This I say then, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, how am I to handle this? Lord, what should I do? Lord, I don't know what to do. Will you work in it? Will you help them? Will you touch them? Will you bless them? Will you show them if they're wrong? Will you show me if I'm wrong? Will you show us what is right? I'm talking about strife. They were fussing with each other about who's going to be the greatest, right? No, I'm going to be the great. I'm kingpin here. You know I can whip all of y'all at arm wrestling. One of the apostles said, no way. Said, you can't fight your way out of a paper bag. Everybody knows I'm going to be the kingpin. Yeah, that's the way. People are the same, aren't they? They're no different than it is. You get a bunch of fellows at work, and There's some contest, some thing going on. I'm not talking about gambling, but you know, if they golf or they do this or that, they brag at each other, right? That's the way these guys were doing. So I'm gonna be the one sitting beside the throne, not you guys. Look how sorry you are. I went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. What about you? See, they were at strife with each other. The Lord says, no, walk in the Spirit. Find out what the Lord wants done. Find out the Lord, how the Lord wants us to be. Walk in the Spirit, and what's it go on to say? And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For what's the fruit of the flesh? Verse 19, works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those that live after that, because they know no better, because they've not been saved, because they don't have the Word of God, they don't have the Spirit of God living in them, shall my children, whom I've saved, go and adopt those ways? It's not to be. Amen. Not to be. We've got the Spirit of God, but the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy. Have any joy of the Lord? Love for one for another, love for the Lord, love for His Word, love for the fellowship of the brethren, love for us to sup together on the Word of God, love for us to sup together physically together. Not scatter like somebody threw a pipe bomb amongst us. Love, joy, peace. If there's love and there's joy, there'll be peace. We don't need to seek a false peace by placating sin. That's the peace that the devil sells. That's the peace that the devil sells, a false peace. I say, well, let them have that, and then that'll be, they'll let us have this. Let this be this way. And then, no, we need to seek what the Lord wants. Desire that, love that, pursue that. And He'll give us that peace that passes all understanding. Amen? Yeah. Right. But see, we look on it in the flesh and we say, well, that can't work. That won't fix that. How's the Lord going to answer and take care of that? We need to do this. Oh, pray into the Lord. Right. Pray into the Lord, and then when he lays something on us to do, go do it and pursue it, say it, whatever it is. Oh, but pray first. Amen. And then seek what the Lord. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You know, we can be weak in a multitude of ways, can't we? I might be weak in such a thing, and you might be weak in another thing, and it's just so plain to me, it's just so plain to you that what the other of us is weak in, we gotta bear that, don't we? I'm not talking about sin. We all sin, we all know that. And when it's open and flagrant and public, then maybe it's such that it has to be dealt with by the church, but we got to be long-suffering. My voice may just trouble you. You have to be long-suffering at the sound of my voice or my singing. My singing might be like a cat scratching on a blackboard to you, and you got to be long-suffering to bear that. Pray for me, you know, that the Lord will change it, right? You know, as an example, long-suffering, gentleness. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, not badness. Faith. Amen. Faith in the Lord. Faith that the Lord will work amongst us. Meekness, power under control. That's what I see in that word, meekness. Temperance, self-control. Against such, there is no law. You don't get to the end of those. Well, I've got a lifetime of temperance in. I'm done. I don't have to be self-controlled anymore. There's no law against it, is there? There's no end to it. There's no end to it. No end to it. No end to it at all. You know what? And when those are exercised, when the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in us, not trying to paint it on the outside, because that fruit only come from the inner man. Amen. You all have seen it. Somebody be sick, really, really be bad, and folks say, I know a brother that just this happened to recently. He's right around 40 years old, has one kidney, and having problems with it. And his blood sugar levels were all haywire, and his levels were wrong and bad, so he had to go to the doctor. And he's got liver problems. He's kind of got a situation where they're working against each other. If it makes it better for his kidney, it's worse on his liver. Makes it better for his liver, it's worse on his kidney. Went into the doctor. The doctor took a look at it, and he says, how do you handle this? How do you handle this? The brother had been all sad sack about it, and I'm not saying it wouldn't affect you. But you know what? Because of that, he was able to witness to that man that's a Catholic, that Catholic doctor. He was able to talk to him about how he can handle it, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, boy, I rejoiced that when I saw how the Lord used it. You can't fake that, folks. Right. That comes from within. And in any number of these fruits here, love, well, Lord, you know best. Joy. He wasn't joyful when he knew that the blood test came in and he was haywire like he was. But he was joyful when the Lord opened it up to him that he's able to witness to that man. And the Lord took that and just opened up that. How do you deal with this? At your age, you got one kidney. And if it keeps on like this, it's going bad. And he's taking medicine for some other stuff that's messing with it all. And he's able to tell him about Jesus Christ. He was joyous then, wasn't he? He was. He was joyful in his witness. He was at peace. Lord, I know that you brought it for this. He was long-suffering. Long-suffering and bearing it in his body. So he could have that witness that the Lord worked out there. Gentleness. It was a good thing, wasn't it? He said he had prayed. He was faithful that the Lord knew what was going on. And the Lord manifested it in that. You see that? You see how it works? Meekness. Temperance. Why me, Lord? Why me? Why is this coming to me? Why has this got to happen to me? You know I only got one kidney. You know I'm just at the middle of my life. But no, he was self-controlled, wasn't he? He was temperate. Against such there is no law. Oh, may the Lord help us to see these things, to serve one another, to serve the Lord, to follow Him. And so back in John chapter 13, is foot washing an ordinance? No, it doesn't seem to me to be. In Matthew chapter 3, turn over here, Matthew 3, you know these scriptures, I trust, I hope you do. We're going to read them just in case you don't. In Matthew chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ goes to John the Baptist for what? To be baptized. Matthew 3, verse number 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? So I need to be baptized of you. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it so to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. All righteousness will be fulfilled, John, when you baptize me. Because that's the way it needs to be. You're the man that baptism has been given to of the Father. And I need it for my church. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ saying that? Did not the Lord submit himself to this? He sure did. If the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, the God of heaven and earth and all that there is that created everything, he submitted himself to this, is it not important? Amen, it is. And he didn't go to one of 12 or one of three choices, he went to one man sent by God. Amen? And he suffered him. And so baptism is important. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, John did. And the Spirit gives his sanction to it. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his sanction to it, says, John, you need to do it. This is the righteous thing. Ordained by the Father is the implication. And when it was done, the Spirit of God sanctioned it. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Who else sanctioned it? The Father. Amen. The Father. And then in John 3, in John chapter 3, in John chapter 3, verse number 22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. He is now found baptizing. The Lord is. And there's going to be a clarification of that. And John was also baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. And it goes on over here to chapter number 4. Verse number 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his church, right? His disciples. They were found baptizing. And then in Matthew chapter 28, what does the Lord say at his departure from this earth? He says there to his church in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse number 19, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And John, Brother John says, amen. There the Lord says, baptize them. Baptize them. Baptize them to show my death, my burial, my resurrection, that they identify with it because I have saved their souls and I have put them in my church by that baptism. Is foot washing an ordinance? Well, I know baptism is, isn't it? Baptism is. And you know what? It's a Baptist distinctive that the world, the religious world, and the world otherwise just does not get. Just does not, don't understand it. Why can't a man baptize? Why can't I just go across the countryside, throwing everybody in a puddle of water or in a pool of water in Whippoorwill Creek just at my whim and will? Because in and of myself, I do not have the authority. Amen. But Olmsted Baptist Church has the authority, just like the Lord's church had the authority in that day. And the Lord says, do it. Why is it that it needs to be that authority? Because God ordained it. Why does it need to be that it be done in water? Because you take dead men and you bury them. You bury them buried in water, completely in water, to show how the Lord was buried, to show how we're dead to self, how the Lord died for us and then risen from the dead, how he gives us eternal life, how we're not alive to ourselves, but we're alive to him. Him, he who is the first fruits of the resurrection, we also are going to go with him. Amen? It's a beautiful thing. And then, you just grab a hold of folks and throw them in? No. The scripture says believers. Believers are those that are baptized. Those that have repented. And I don't want to mean to split hairs, but you know what? I made two professions of faith before I was saved. A profession of faith doesn't save one soul, but Jesus does. Repentance and faith. That's what we need to pray, is that the Lord will save sinners. The Lord will move upon sinners and save their souls. A profession of faith can be cheap. It can be just words to be said. And I understand the implication, but we need the Lord to save souls. Grab a hold of sinners. Show them how they're lost and undone without Jesus, and they'll go to hell in the lake of fire forever. But if they'll repent and believe and see Jesus Christ as their only hope, their only answer, that he died, suffered, died, was buried, and rose again for them and save them, boy, they'll be born again, won't they? Amen. They'll have life, won't they? They'll cry out like that newborn baby. When that newborn baby is born, they'll cry out with life, won't they? Amen. They'll say, Lord, my Lord and my God, my Savior. Amen. Believers are those that are baptized. Is foot washing an ordinance? I don't believe it is, but I know baptism is. And then as we're studying it here in Luke chapter 22, we just read through it, but I ask you to turn over there again. The Lord tells us in this passage, he tells us what the purpose of the Lord's Supper is that he instituted there at the Passover before he suffered on the cross. In Luke 22:19, then he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is the body, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. He says, do it and remember me. Do it and remember me dying for you. Is foot washing an ordinance? I don't believe it is, but the Lord's Supper is, isn't it? It's for those that are in the Lord's church, those that have been saved, those that have been scripturally baptized, as we pointed out, and those that are there put by God, added by God in his body, in his local New Testament Baptist church, for the purpose of serving him, for the purpose of glorifying him. This ordinance of the Lord's Supper to partake of, to remember his body being broken, to remember his blood being shed, to remember him dying for you and me. It's an ordinance. It's an ordinance. Well, what about foot washing then? What is it about foot washing? Well, back in John 13, what is it the Lord said? And I hammer this point because I want you to see this. In verse number 12, so after he had washed their feet, John 13:12, he had taken his garments and was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I've done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example, and I think that is the key. There's an example that has been given. There's an example of humility that there needs to be amongst us in the church. An example that the Lord gives to us, that if the Lord, our Master, would serve his children and his disciples in the church, so should you and I, one another. Our desire, the people that we should have the greatest desire for in the world, should be those of the church that the Lord has added us to. I'm talking about a kinship that exceeds the blood kinship of this body. I'm talking a blood kinship because of Jesus Christ's blood. Think about it. Our kinship is going to pass away when we die and the Lord burns up this earth. But the kinship because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I kind of am partial. It's going to go on forever, aren't you? Yeah. The things of this world, and we've got blessings. Oh, we have blessings. Everything that the Lord does for us and gives us and that he's blessed with, is just thinking here recently of the blessing of the Lord's order and everything that he's ordained. Isn't it good? Isn't it good when a family is together and right? Isn't that good? Amen. It's good. You got a husband and wife, and they've kept themselves for one another. And then the Lord brings them together in marriage. Amen. And they're one flesh. Isn't that good? Right. And then children come of that marriage. Isn't that good? Amen. And they're taught the Word of God when they're young. And not everybody has that blessing. But when we do have it, isn't it good? Amen. It's God's way. It's God's way amongst us. It's a blessing from him. It's not because of our ability or our desire. Oh, it's God's good blessing upon us. And then they grow up and they repent and believe. The Lord works in them and saves them. And then they seek out, they put the Lord first. And then they seek out one that would be pleasing to the Lord for them to marry. And the Lord brings them together, and then there's children from that. That's a good blessing of God in the family. I tell you what, there's nothing better, nothing sweeter. But boy, something gets sideways in that thing. Boy, it's a mess, isn't it? And it's sad. and it's grievous and it's hurtful. Boy, but the Lord's way is such a blessed way, isn't it? It is. You know, the Lord's church, it's the same way. If we as members of Olmsted Baptist Church will pursue the Lord's church in the way that He says to, if our desire will be for the Lord and for one for another, it'll be a blessed thing, folks. It'll be a wonderful thing. It'll be a harmonious thing. And that's what it is. He said, I've given you an example. I've given you an example of how you need to be. Don't be looking to blow your own horn. Don't be looking to make your own way. Don't be looking to make your own heritage, your own prosperity, your own legacy. Just serve me. Serve me as a servant where I've placed you, and I'll bless you big. I'll bless you big. You think of those disciples. Think of those apostles. They followed there and tracked around with the Lord for 3 years of His ministry, right? And then they went ahead and stood and continued to preach. And I often think about, I wonder how old they were. Were they in the 20s? Were they in their 30s? Or in their 40s? You know, and how long they lived. It said that, isn't it said that John the Revelator, John the Apostle, maybe lived into his 80s? I think if I remember that right, historically we understand that. And if he was saved when he was 20, or the Lord's ministry was at the time that John was in his 20s, as an example, and he served the Lord on this dirt ball for another 60 or 70 years, and the Lord said, John, I've got a throne for you to sit on, and I've got a tribe for you to judge. What he went through in this life, and there were blessings and there were hardships, but it was just like a speck on a page compared to what the Lord did for him. And we don't serve the Lord for the blessings. We need to serve the Lord because He's God. But understand, He'll do us good if we'll what? Amen. Submit to the Lord. And submit one to another. I've left you an example. I've left you an example. For I've given you an example, verse 15, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you can know that, happy are ye. If we can just understand that. If you're here tonight without Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're not saved, if you don't know where you'll go when you die, or maybe you do know where you would go if you died right now without Jesus Christ. To a devil's hell. To a place, the lake of fire. That place that's called the second death. Where the Lord will bring up all the dead one day. And they'll all stand before that great white throne. And they'll be judged out of those books of the Bible. And out of that book of life. And it won't be a place for debate or a deal or a plea bargain. It'll just be the wrapping up of what's done. And I believe the Lord, I'm used about the Lord say, here's my word. Did you ever hear it? Why didn't you believe it? And here's my book. And your name's not written there. And in the lake of fire, you go. And all those that tells us there in Revelation chapter 21, the abominable and the whoremonger and all those different ones that are mentioned there. But you know, the one that just really stands out to me The unbelieving have all those fruits and works of the flesh. All those that abide in those are going to be cast into that lake of fire. And one more is added, the unbelieving. Repent. Amen. Believe the gospel. See Jesus Christ if you've never seen him before. Give up on any claim of any righteousness or point to that other guy. And won't you just look to Jesus? Repent. And believe that when he suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again the third day, he did it for you because you're guilty. Because you're the sinner that needs a Savior.